been looking at some things today that has caught my attention and has caused me to slow down a little bit and ponder what thus saith the Lord. I know that's something that we ought to be doing anyway. But at times we need to be reminded that when we are reading and studying God's word, it demands our attention. When a person is baptized into Christ, they are a babe in Christ. Peter would say, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. The idea is to desire and to grow. As we continue to grow, we know that we are to be taught by the Lord. We're taught by his word. We're taught by the apostles' teaching. Remember what Jesus told his disciples on one occasion, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We know that as we are preaching the gospel, it gives people and it gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Here it is, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. Now, notice that. Before we run past that, he called us by his glory and virtue. The glory that he has, his essence, his character, he calls us by those things. When we consider studying God's word, we ought to be a people who understand that we can know the truth. And the truth sets us free. And as that truth is setting us free, we have a desire to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And as we begin to show ourselves approved unto God, we have our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I say all that to say this, is that God has given us the ability and the capacity to do four things. Number one, he has given us the capacity to read. I wonder how many people really just don't read. I'm not talking about glancing. I'm not talking about perusing. I'm not talking about just glossing over, but I'm talking about reading. You remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 3 through 4? He said, whereby when you read. But he has given us the ability to reason. Remember what God told Isaiah to tell the children of Israel? Come, let us reason, to think things through. You know, that requires meditation, pondering, requires us getting into a quiet place, no distractions, no interruptions. I'm doing some studying now on hermeneutics, and one of the suggestions in hermeneutics is to eliminate distractions. Eliminate distractions. Number three, we understand that God has given us the capacity to understand. Ephesians 5, 17. You know, we can understand the will of the Lord. We can know what God's word says. We can understand it and we can apply it. But last but definitely not least, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 13, we can obey. We can obey, which means that God desires for us to read. He desires for us to reason. He desires for us to understand, but he desires us to obey once we have come to an understanding of the truth. And in doing that, we understand that God desires for us to be a people who are focusing on attention, paying attention to what he says. I've gotten in more trouble with God's word because I didn't pay attention to every word that he has said. Isn't that interesting? Jesus would tell the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Guess what? Every single word in the Bible is inspired by God. That's why when we desire to own our own scripture, our own Bible, our own papyri, if you will, our own parchment, we should desire to have a translation that is a word-for-word translation, not a word-for-thought or a thought-for-word. Have you ever heard of that? You know, there are some paraphrases going around. Some people are caring about Bibles that are just mere thoughtful words. These are the thoughts of the interpreter or the transcriber or the one that has translated. These are my thoughts based upon the Greek word. No, God says, you need to have a word-for-word translation. Why? Because it is important that we understand that every word is inspired by God. So our attention has to be upon the Word of God, our concentration, which means that we fix our attention on the very word that He is saying, which means that all other distractions need to go away for a particular amount of time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Brother Frank Briscoe, we was at the preacher's meeting this past Monday, and he said something. I always learn something from that brother. He's been around preaching 60-something years. He has something to offer the church. He said this. He said, a lot of people, what they like to do is read for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and they get up and they walk off. He said, I tell people, if you're going to read for 30 minutes, won't you just read for 25 minutes and sit still and think about what you just read for 5 minutes. Now there's your 30 minutes. A lot of times we're not thinking about what God's word said. We have to take it in. We have to think about it. Just don't open up your Bible. Say, okay, I got my daily reading in. I'm going to run off. No. Take your time. Take it in. Meditate upon it. Absorb it. Absorb the thoughts. Why? Paul would tell Timothy, and I'll leave you with these thoughts. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 13, he told him to give attendance to the reading, to the exhortation. Here it is, to the doctrine. Paul, what are you telling Timothy to do? Pay attention. Keep on putting your mind on the reading, on the exhortation, on the doctrine. Now, of course, when Paul told Timothy this, friends, he was talking about the public reading of Scripture. However, when we think about our own private reading, we ought to be paying attention to what we're reading. And when the word is being proclaimed, we ought to center our attention on what the teacher or preacher is saying. Why? Because we want to make sure that we have an attitude of the Bereans to make sure those things are so. We want to make sure that we have an attitude of reverence toward God. I'm listening to what God has said. Why? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The minister has a responsibility to teach and preach, just as the one who is listening has a responsibility to listen. And once they find it to be true, apply it. And friends, God has given us the ability to read, to the ability to reason, the ability to understand, yea, the ability to obey. So let us obey what God's word has said. Let us be effective students of the word of God. Let us realize that we ought to give our full attention to Jehovah. Our full attention to the one who is speaking his word. Our full attention to the precepts and concepts of the word of God. Why? Because in John chapter 12, verse number 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I've spoken shall judge you in the last day. Shouldn't we obey or pay attention to the very words that we're going to meet on the last day? The answer is yes. We have college men and women here. We have people who, on their job, they have to go and do particular studies, trainings, and you have to take tests and turn in papers and things of that nature, and it has to meet the approval of the one that's going to be grading it. Guess what? We're going to be graded by the Word of God. And isn't it beautiful that we have an open book test? I was told this the other day, that the Bible is the probably the most purchased book in America, but often wondered if it is the most read and applied book in America. Most people have a Bible in their home, but friends, we have to have the Bible in our hearts. So let's read, let's understand, let's meditate, let's apply, let's reason, let's please God. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Himself was a student. He was a student of the Word of God. Not only was he a student, he was one that was willing to sit inside of the temple and even ask questions. Even answer questions. When we consider those who may not be Christians, we want you to be students of the Word of God. That when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not obeying it because of an emotional experience, but you are obeying it because of the logical Word of God, which has the ability to prick the conscience, which means that God's Word is going to not only prick your intellect, but also prick your emotions, because you are made up of body, soul, and spirit. And as your mind is being illuminated, enlightened, and your emotions is being pricked because you understand what Jesus Christ did for you on that cross one day, but God raised him up, you can make a conscious and educated decision to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will save you and add you to his Son's church. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been setting that time aside. Or maybe as you're reading, you have so many distractions. Let's stop that. Let's give God our full attention. Our full attention, because he deserves it, as we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.